WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And it is now time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
There we are.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's most probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all. I really wish they had listened to Anita Hill, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning, how the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in the program. You can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. And this is our 131st pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in the entire multiverse for the past fortnight is we are holding at the astoundingly large number of 121 followers on Twitter. Oh, everyone is so impressed with 121 followers. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be on Wednesday, May 10th, 2023, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a local station board meeting this past Wednesday. Among other things that happened, the Community Advisory Board gave a report. And a community advisory board is something that the Federal Communication Commission requires that each and every radio station and TV station have. And WBAI has one. And they reported and they said several things. One of the things they said was the members of the community advisory board said that producers should not be able to boycott listeners when they call in. Which means when somebody calls in, They get to take over the radio program. You can't just say, "Ah, here's this nutcase again," and hang up on them right away. Or if they say something stupid, you have to say, "Oh yeah, we'll just let you keep on doing this until you can't talk anymore and not disagree with you thoroughly." And when you know you can't, in other words, the producer doesn't get to control the program. This is nuts. The reason for that is that they have some nuts on the local community advisory board. Ah, really? And, you know, those nuts are the people who will say, we want to be able to call in and, you know, be able to say everything and you can't do anything about it. Well, you know, that is nuts. I mean, you can't have a radio station run like that. Those, we don't take calls, so it doesn't matter to us. We're pre-recorded. And so in days past, when this program has been live and has taken phone calls, it wasn't that productive because there are people who hang on the phone and just wait for the chance to call in. And you end up, at least in those days, you ended up with the same callers over and over again who just wanted to talk on the air. Most of them were nuts. I think that's still going on. Anyway, so that was one in community advisory board suggestion. And the other one, there were several, but another one was, and WBAI should tell everyone how to have a show on WBAI with a detailed point-by-point explanation of the process. So I think these two things are linked. These are people who are out of their minds, who show up at these meetings and say, we want to be on the air because, you know, then they'll control the world if they get a show on BAI. And so they want to get a point by point how to do it. Because then they could say, well, I followed all the points, so I should have a program on BAI. Yeah, but you're nuts. So, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, it's a little more complicated than that. Basically, you know, when I had to get this program, first I was with the Gay Men's Collective and I joined that. They invited me and I came in and I did radio. And then for getting this program back of the book, I had to put in a written proposal, which nobody else did. The program director at the time didn't like me too much. And so I had to do this written proposal because that would put off everybody else at BAI, because nobody ever wrote anything down. Well, then I handed him a typewritten proposal. He didn't like that, but he ended up putting me on anyway. So sometimes you could come and give the program director a written proposal. Other people have gotten on the air. Sometimes it's involved fellatio, and I don't know if that would work anymore, but I know that it used to work. Anyway, During the LSB meeting, I gave a treasurer's report, and the written version of that is on glib.com, glib.com.
Well, I'm happy to say that I also was invited back in the 90s to be on the air with my dear Rat Girl of the West, and we had a great time, and both have gone on to other shows. I'm on this show, and she's on a couple of other shows, so.
The Centers for Disease Control's website says that, quote, maps, charts, and data provided by the CDC update Monday through Friday by 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So these figures are not as up-to-date as the Johns Hopkins data used to be, but it's what we have. And from what we're seeing, apparently, well, we're going to end up quoting Thursday night's figures because we're recording before 8 o'clock on Friday. Jesus. Anyway, the CDC website says that in America, the number of reported cases of COVID-19 as of Thursday night at 8 p.m. was 104,348,746, and the death toll in America was 1,128,404. The CDC is saying that the death toll was 1,327 for this past week and that the rate is coming down. But there are still a lot of people dying of this virus more than 3 years after it came onto the global scene. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. We are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, and this was all mostly preventable. We're seeing a news item that Florida's Surgeon General, Joseph Lopato, announced in October that adult males aged 18 to 39 should not get the COVID-19 vaccines, such as the Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna, because of an, quote, abnormally high risk of cardiac-related death among men in this age group, unquote. Which sounded very bogus to us when he said it. This announcement went against advice that had been issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and it was called deeply flawed by several health experts, including by people at the University of Florida, where this Lopato guy works as a professor. Florida's own analysis showed that catching COVID-19 could increase the risk of a cardiac-related death much more than getting a vaccine. But the Florida Surgeon General removed that from the final version published by the state's health department. Surgeon General Lopato had also written that hydroxychloroquine, an anti-malaria drug that was pushed by some right-wing idiots, quote, is more positive than many in the medical community admit, unquote. Yeah, that's Florida. I mean, you know, he's an appointee of Ron DeSantis. A lot of anti-vaxxer nonsense, just right-wing crap to get people, certain politicians, votes from very stupid people. Jesus, it's amazing how corrupt the right wing is. On the other hand, look what happened to the Weimar Republic.
Well, another thing regarding the pandemic, Arpal, is that as of right now, we no longer have a national health emergency anymore in the country.
So it's usual for 1,300 people a week to die of something that's not an emergency.
Well, originally the administration said May 11th, but I think it happened before the president went over to Ireland or on that day.
I wonder why. I mean, why move it up a month? What happened that he wanted to move it up a month and say, it's strange and it's not realistic. You know, we have thousands of people. Well, 1,000. Oh, how many is it? 1,327 this week, according to CDC. And we know that it's an undercount.
And looking at the World Health Organization's website, the world death number is getting close to 7 million. It's approaching 7 million. So I don't know. It is still there. It is not like getting the flu. And I don't know. I'm walking around, no mask when I'm out and about outside. But anytime I go into a public place, I put on a mask. Public transportation, I put on the mask before I go into the subway or on a bus.
Oh, well.
Though now that I think on it, all the money that went to procuring masks and vaccine and everything and tests has run out at this point, I believe. So that may be a reason why they're declaring that the national emergency is over. I mean, not as many people are getting sick. That's true. Not as many people are dying. That is also true. But with more Republicans in Congress, they, you know, don't want to have any more money go towards COVID stuff. So, oh boy.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Oh, my. I think that may mean there is an emergency somewhere. Oh, I know where there's an emergency. It's at WBAI. We need money. Yes, we're going to start pitching here, folks. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from you now. WBAI is going to be having to pay some central services fees coming up very soon. And, oh boy, we got to pay these. Central services fees are what we pay to the national office because Pacifica is the foundation that owns WBAI and other radio stations. And, of course, Pacifica is where we get the Pacifica network from. And so Pacifica has a national office, and it has to do all sorts of things. It pays for insurance of all sorts, and you got to have insurance. It pays for various things, legal stuff. There are many things that go into having a radio network, and the national office takes care of a lot of that because, well, quite frankly, if I were running the national office, I'd say it's because I couldn't trust the people who are at the local stations to do it right. But I'm not, so I won't say that. Anyway, what happens is the national office needs to be funded. And they need a certain amount of money. Otherwise, they can't do the stuff they need to do. And you need things like insurance and legal help. You got to pay for legal things. People get sued all the time. You have to file forms. WBAI is currently applying to renew its license. And that happens all over the place for all of the Pacifica stations. So we have to send them a certain amount of money, and we haven't been doing it. But they said, okay, BAI has to do it now because Pacifica is running out of money. So what we need to do is get on the air and ask you to help us. Please call 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then you'll tell them what your credit card or debit card number is, because that's what they're going to bill. You'll tell them how much you would like to donate every month, because a BAI buddy is the name of our sustaining membership project. And so you can donate $10, $15, $20 a month, more if you can. And you tell them, yes, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you tell them how much you want to do per month. You also tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. That way it doesn't come at an inconvenient time. And so, yeah, you can do that, and it will help a lot. You can call up 1-212-209-2950 and say, please let me donate. And they'll say, sure, we'll let you donate. Make sure you say it's for Back of the Book, because that way they're less likely to forget. And so, yeah, we need that. We need to get people to become BAI buddies, because the sustaining membership helps to be able to predict how much money we'll have to pay the bills. Otherwise, it goes up drastically. It goes down drastically. You know, this helps to even it out a little bit. Not as much as we would wish, but it evens it out a little bit. If you become a BAI buddy, not only do you get the tremendous satisfaction of supporting WBAI, but you also get a WBAI tote bag. Ooh, also called a book bag by some, whatever it's called. It's one of those bags with long handles. And you can put stuff in it. I don't know what stuff you want to put in it. You can put all sorts of crap in one of these things. And you can walk around with a BAI tote bag and say to everybody, hey, look, I listen to BAI. And they'll say, huh? So 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. Please give us a call at that number now. You could really help us out. It would really help us out. I mean, we joke around a bit. And the thing is, we gotta raise the money. We really do need you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. 1-212-209-2950. We talk about all sorts of things on this radio program. We talk about science topics. We talk about politics, and, you know, we were preempted for a fundraiser last week, and there's all sorts of stuff that we would like to talk about we're not going to get to, but this has been quite the busy week, as you'll hear shortly, with Supreme Court decisions and lower court decisions and guys leaking stuff and a Supreme Court justice who sure does seem to be dirty and stuff like that going on. And we'll talk about that. We do science topics. I don't know that we're going to get to one on this program, but we do these things. And you can help keep that sort of actual science, as opposed to pseudoscience, on the air by calling 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And also, by becoming a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, you're supporting the overnight radio programs. And this is important because there are still people who are actively proposing that WBAI rent out its air from midnight to 6 a.m. to something else. Who knows? Whatever will pay. And if it'll pay more than you will, they'll do it. And so if the overnights can't raise enough money, that's something that could happen. Again, people have been proposing that sort of thing for years. They're proposing it more now, and we could end up with no overnight programs originating out of WBAI. It could be who the hell knows what. 1-212-209-2950. Please help us to keep that going and keep this station going and keep the overnights on overnight and jump on the WBAI train and say, yes, I want to keep this all going. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number if you can. We'd really appreciate it. Oh, a sad note. One of the usual gang of idiots has left the realm of the living. Mad Magazine cartoonist Al Jaffe, who worked at Mad Magazine for half a century, died this past Monday at the age of 102. Woo! I used to try to figure out the foldouts he did without actually folding the magazine and putting creases into it. Sometimes that worked, sometimes. But yeah, he did artwork, of course, all over the damn thing. And he did it elsewhere besides Mad Magazine. But for Mad Magazine, he's credited as the inventor of the foldout. And what happened was you would have one thing on, I think it was the back page of the magazine, and it would say something or other. We have this issue here. What's going to happen? And then you would fold it across the lines as indicated. And it had a very complicated graphic, usually in words, you know, spelling out, what do we do? And then it would have his solution for it. And it would be, you know, the world's going to hell or something. And various graphics that were comical, certainly. And he also did, of course, a lot of different drawings in the magazine. So I remember him in Mad Magazine.
And he did snappy answers to stupid questions.
Yes, that was another good one. That was a good one. Yeah, that was a good item that he had in there. Snappy answers to stupid questions.
Oh, my God. How many kids grew up and became subversives because of Mad Magazine? Oh. And the fun kind of subversive. Yeah.
Yes, Mad Magazine was definitely a good thing. I got introduced to it. I didn't know this at the time, but it was pretty early in its run. In fact, I might have had one of the first couple of Mad Magazines, not because I could buy it, because it cost more. It cost 15 cents. I could buy a 10-cent comic book, and that was fine. And you usually have science fiction and space comic books with all of these guys, you know, with these ridiculous rocket ships that could go all over the place on very little fuel. And I used to see those. There are, by the way, some of those comics fell out of copyright. And so online, if you look for copyright-free comics, there are at least two sites that I know of that you can find comics on, old comics, and they're copyright-free, and you can read them, and, oh boy, they're full of all that silly stuff of guys in outer space. And one of the things that always interested me was, because outer space is pretty much featureless, you'll have the spaceship and then you'll have not much else. And you might have a star or planet over there, or you might have a spaceship in the distance, but you got a lot of blackness. And so what they would do is they would have like sort of a cloud or something in there, not a terrestrial cloud, but it would be like something that was a color, that had a color other than jet black of outer space. And it would be going along and you would say, what is that? But it was just there visually for those things. But anyway, those are the comic books that I used to get. Mad Magazine cost 15 cents. I couldn't afford it. In fact, they didn't stock it at the two candy stores I was familiar with, probably because it was so subversive. And Ethel's candy store that was there for a while. Then I had to go to Danny's. Ethel's was at 1st Street and 7th Avenue in Brooklyn. And then Ethel was quite elderly, and somebody bought the building and told her, get the hell out. She had a store that she lived in the back of, in the bottom floor. And so then after that, the only comic book place I had was Danny's candy store over on Garfield Place and 7th Avenue. And I would go there and I would buy comic books there. And neither one of them had magazine. But my aunt used to buy it. She worked on Wall Street. And she wasn't a big deal thing. She was like, I don't know, secretary or something, maybe. She wasn't a broker. She wasn't a trader or anything. She was just one of those people, cogs in the wheel. And I also used to be able to get these thick yellow pads from her that were like, I don't know, must have been like 4 or 5 inches wide and maybe 10 or 11 inches long. And black China markers, because that's what they used. And so she had a bunch of those, and I could draw, and I said, oh, this is fun. And she also had Mad Magazine, because she found it somewhere, probably in Manhattan. And I got some of the very early issues of Mad Magazine, and I said, oh, this is great stuff. You know, we were in her house once, and she let me look at this thing, and I looked at it and I said, oh, this is very interesting. I had some laughs out of it. Of course, the thing I had with Mad Magazine was it was done by people who are my parents' age, and they would say, and here, this is sung to the tune of some song. I had no idea what the song was. But I would read the words and say, oh, yeah, that's okay. But so I couldn't get a lot of that. I mean, my parents would have found it amusing, I think. But Mad Magazine was kind of above what they would read.
Oh.
Really? Really? They didn't read that? Mad Magazine was, they just didn't understand it. And then after a while, she kept giving them to me as she would get them, read them, give them to me. I remember being on a bus with my parents and my aunt and my uncle and reading it and having a great time and giggling all over the place with the Mad Magazine. Ah, yes. But Sam Jaffe was a part of that, part of the usual gang of idiots, and he has left us, and that's unfortunate, but hey, he got to be 100, too. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. We're getting some nice summer weather lately. I like it. Pickles does not. We're in early spring right now. We'll enter mid-spring next Wednesday, April 19th at 5:51 p.m. And, oh boy, the middle third is only a little more than 2 weeks away. Oh boy, I'm looking forward to that. Well, for this next bit, I think we should hear from something classical.
The 9000 series is the most reliable computer ever made. No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information. We are all, by any practical definition of the words, foolproof and incapable of error.
Ah, yes, robots. Fun to watch in the movies. Not so much fun in real life sometimes. And by the way, New York City has procured some new robots that, well, I think the former mayor tried to buy during his term and that didn't work out. But now the current mayor has decided this is a good thing. And
he's going to rent them.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You can rent them. In fact, I went to one of the websites for some of these robots, the egg-shaped ones, and my goodness, you can rent them. Well, these robots like to be called, apparently, autonomous security robots. They only have one purpose. The target audience for the buying or renting of these robots is law enforcement and security groups, I guess you would call them. You know, you need a security guard to walk around the warehouse. Well, why bother doing that when you can have an autonomous security robot or an ASR. Rs? Rs. Yes, the Rs. Oh, the Rs. Yes, well, they're kind of terrifying in their own way. I mean, to look at them, they don't look like much. They look kind of like eggs, giant eggs. But they really want to take the place of humans doing certain jobs, or at least the people who have created them think this is a grand idea. They're going to help fight crime, Arbal. They're going to help fight crime, and they can do all kinds of things that their human counterparts can't, apparently. They've got robotics, artificial intelligence, which is interesting since we're not quite certain the ramifications of artificial intelligence. I mean, we don't know how much AI can learn or what it will do with that knowledge. Anyway, and they have little wheels so they can roll around. They can recharge themselves, you know, at their charging station. And apparently people just love them. According to the website, they just love them because people love taking selfies with them. Wow. Now, should I mention the name of the company that does this?
Sure.
They're called Nightscope. Oh, and it's like the night of old. Oh, the night of old, the robotic night of new. Oh, God. And the great features about it, apparently, they don't eat or sleep. You don't have to pay them overtime. You don't have to, you know, give them time off if their kids get sick. They can work as 168 hours and 365 days. So, heh. I guess you don't have to bother with any kind of pesky union either.
There's that.
One thing stood out to me. I'm going to quote a line here. We are physical deterrents for illicit activities, force multipliers for your team, and we look out for known threats like terminated employees, criminal trespassers, and even domestic abusers that may try to cause a disturbance with your employees. Now, considering what has happened over the past couple of weeks, you know, we'll take, for instance, the latest, as of now, I think, mass shooting at that bank. That guy had, what is that kind of, what is that?
AR-15.
He had an AR-15. So if this egg-shaped, you know, security guard had been there, up, intruder, he could see it, you know, and send the signal back to law enforcement, that guy still would have killed all those people.
Yeah.
Because it takes, what, minutes? Not even 5 minutes, just a couple of minutes to shoot and kill and maim people with that kind of weapon. So, you know, wow, that kind of stood out to me. The other thing they do is they store a lot of information. 90 terabytes.
Wow.
For a year of data.
Oh, and, per year.
Yeah, for a year. But, you know, for a fee, I guess, you can download that stuff and use it in your court cases. So, isn't that wonderful? Yes. Oh, I did mention that they say they love humans and humans love them.
Oh, the robots love people.
Well,
okay.
it's a cutesy website for, given what the purpose of these robots are for, it's very interesting. And one of the cutesy things they say, and I quote again, "It is not our goal to take your job and rule all mankind. That is for big screen science fiction with an emphasis on fiction." Well, they actually do want to use these to take people's jobs. You know, saying, oh, those jobs are boring for people. You know, well, what are these people? If you're a security guard or even a police officer, what are you supposed to do if the robot takes away a large chunk of your job?
Well, also, you know, which is worse, having a boring job or being homeless and starving in the street?
Exactly.
Which of those is worse? You know, I suppose some people could disagree on which is worse, but really.
Exactly. And the other thing, and I quote again, "And we let the humans do what they do best, decision-making, empathy, and enforcement work." Oh, yes, the empathetic police enforcement all around the world. Oh, yes, we need them for their empathy and enforcement work. But it's like, oh, and there's one other one, too. There's the other one that looks like the hound from hell, the artificial hound from hell.
Digidog.
Oh, my God. And it is from Boston Dynamics, which came out of the lab at MIT, the robotics lab at MIT. Remember we saw this years ago when they first were developing it and they decided to show what they've been working on. And we were like, I think everyone had the same reaction, like, ugh. What the hell? What the hell is that thing?
That thing looks dangerous.
It's like if somebody read a lot of science fiction, say, perhaps Philip K. Dick, and decided that all the things he wrote about how technology got out of control, they thought, gee, that is great. That is great. All the sort of monstrous things that he wrote about that invaded people's lives and controlled them and hurt them. Wow, this is cool. That's what they took from that instead of like being horrified. But yes, yeah, so its name on the website is Spot. So I guess they figured Spot was a little too innocuous, so let's call it DigiDog. That sounds cool, right? The hound from hell.
I wonder what it will be like the first time one of these things kills a person.
Well, that's the other thing. They emphasize that they don't have any kind of weaponry, but you know what? You can always build that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, your tax dollars at work.
So a federal judge named Matthew Kaczmarek, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Kaczmarek is what it looks like. This guy is a Trump appointee. He ruled in Amarillo, Texas, that the medical abortion drug mifepristone did not properly have FDA approval. Yeah, okay. I'm sure he knows all the ins and outs of how approval works out, but Jesus Christ, he's just a right-wing bad guy. Anyway, this was after some right-wing Christian anti-abortion group had brought a suit to him. Gee whiz, I guess they knew how to choose this jerk. Meanwhile, a judge in Washington State ruled that the FDA approval was intact and proper. So the Texas judge's ruling went to the right-wing Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled 2-1 that a ban on dispensing mifepristone by mail can go into effect immediately, and the appeals court also narrowed the time during pregnancy that the drug can be prescribed, and they made it go from 10 weeks to 7 weeks. And, of course, the original ruling by this Kaczmarek character judge basically said, mifepristone, it's out. Can't use it. It's nowhere. We can't use it at all. And it's supposed to apply to the entire United States of America. Interesting how this can happen. Some rinky-dink judge off in some rural area gets to rule that New York City can't do what it wants. Oh, man. Anyway, so this has happened, and the Biden administration is appealing all of it. And again, the Fifth Circuit did knock down a little bit of it. They said that you just couldn't send it through the mail, effective immediately. And they also managed to say, yeah, you can make it 7 weeks. You can do it for up to 7 weeks of pregnancy, which a lot of women don't know they're pregnant for the first 7 weeks of pregnancy. So, Jesus Christ. And as I say, the Biden administration is appealing all of this mess. And then just before we started recording this program, far right wing anti-abortion Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito delayed the bans on mailing mifepristone and prescribing it to women after 7 weeks of pregnancy, which would otherwise have gone into effect overnight nationwide, including in New York City. So Alito has paused it. He's paused it. Didn't say this is stupid, throw it out or anything, but he has paused the whole goddamn thing. So this whole mess is going to the Supreme Court, which is still dominated by the six right-wing justices who overturned Roe v. Wade last year.
This is death by a thousand cuts. It really is. Ugh. I mean, this is so bad. As you said, you're not going to know that you're pregnant 7 weeks in, necessarily, for crying out loud. This is a de facto ban. For everybody, every state, no abortion at all. No pregnancy termination for whatever reason. Women have already gotten infections and had to be sick before they could go to the hospital and get an abortion. I mean, ugh, people who have missed miscarriages, people who have fetuses that have died in the womb. I mean, and also, it's your own damn body and it's your own damn right whether you choose to be pregnant or not. Ugh.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing is, mifepristone has been used in the United States for more than 20 years. Millions of women have used it. Research has shown that mifepristone is safer than Tylenol and Viagra. And we don't see the right wing trying to use this tactic on those drugs. And what the judge, what the original judge, that Kaczmarek character said was, the FDA didn't do it right. It's not approved anymore. You know, he has no idea. Well, he doesn't care what he's talking about. He's just going with this right-wing Christian group that wants to ban all abortions because they want to be in charge of everybody and force their ridiculous superstition onto other people. And so it's actually, in this form, it's not quite as bad as it had been, but it's still very, very bad. And, you know, civil war. This is part of the civil war that we are seeing, the slow motion civil war in America. We've got these people. I mean, this is a Trump judge again, and they don't consider the law or people. They only know they want to conquer the rest of us. And something has to be done about these kinds of people. I mean, a judge like that, what do you do about these people and those six on the Supreme Court? What do you do about those people? Something needs to be done about them. They have to be stopped. Speaking of right-wing Supreme Court justices, Clarence Thomas is being revealed as quite the hypocrite and shady character. He has been taking what sure looked to me like bribes from this right-wing billionaire, Harlan Crow, for decades. Thomas and his wife get free vacations to places all over the world with no expense to them. And now it turned out this Harlan Crow character has bought Clarence Thomas's boyhood home and some nearby patches of dirt for about $133,000 back in 2014. So 9 years ago he was doing this. Clarence Thomas has not declared any of this on forms he is required to fill out each year as a judge showing what gifts he's been given. Now, certainly all of those vacations for decades all over the world on the super yachts and things like that, it sounds like a gift. And yeah, sounds like a gift buying patches of dirt for more than they're worth. Sounds like a gift, certainly, and even if it's not a gift, it's certainly a transaction that's more than $1,000. It's 133 times larger than $1,000. And Thomas didn't declare any of this kind of thing. He says that some unnamed person told him that he did not have to because he's pals with this Crow character. What a ridiculous, wow, what a tremendous legal mind Clarence Thomas has. This guy needs to be removed from a bench as any other judge would be, and he probably needs to go to prison for taking bribes, too. This is so obviously corrupt. And he's going to sit there and say, I just did this, it's okay. Somebody, I'm not going to say who, says it was okay. Wait a minute, it's the law. You're a Supreme Court justice. You're supposed to be able to read things and figure them out. Weren't you a lawyer or something at some point? And, you know, so, I mean, really, this is so absolutely ridiculous. He just figures that with the right wing having that supermajority in the Supreme Court, nothing you could do to him. And that with the current way Congress is, they're never going to impeach him and remove him from office. So he can just get away with it and thumb his nose at the whole United States of America and say, I can take bribes with immunity. I can vote on things that I should be recusing myself from. I can have my wife doing all of these right-wing things to try and overturn an election that then comes here and I get to vote on that. I mean, and rather flagrantly be the only one to vote in favor of Trump on one of those damn things. And he figures to get away with all of this. And the way it's looking now, he kind of is. Again, what do we do about people like that? Well, civil war seems to be happening, a slow motion civil war in America. And Clarence Thomas is taking advantage of that to line his pockets and have a good time and play out his right-wing fantasies.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
We've talked in the past about having leaks from our ceiling, but the entire country has had a big leak this past fortnight. Things have moved quickly, so it develops that the person who is being accused of having leaked a lot of highly classified material is one Jack Teixeira, a 21-year-old airman in the Massachusetts Air National Guard. That means that his pay grade is E3, which is equivalent to a private first class in the Army. Teixeira, using the screen name OG, which is supposed to stand for Original Gangster, was the top person in an online chat group among gamers, and the chat group was called Thug Shaker Central. Really, small children's stuff, you know? Anyway, it sounds like Teixeira was the oldest person in that chat group, and most of the others seem to have been teenagers. So this jerk was busy impressing the kiddies with top-secret documents that he was filching. I'm hoping he goes away for a very long time, because this is very dangerous stuff. It's endangering the lives of people in Ukraine, because the Russians are getting a hold of this and seeing, oh, let's figure out what we can do to Ukraine now. And it's going to get people killed in Ukraine because of what this jerk did. I will note that another E3, Private First Class Manning, also wandered about amid information that was classified way above their clearance level. But this Teixeira guy has done much more damage. Really, I mean, what happens is the military just trusts people. I was 20 years old when I had a serious security clearance, not some confidential like PFC Manning. And I don't know if this Teixeira guy had any clearance at all. I don't know if he had anything. But you know, what happens is in the military, they trust you. They say, okay, you've got this and you do that. And you can also have things like privates doing large things. You know, they're moving 7,000 tons of equipment from here to there. Who's really in charge of that? The general? No, the person really in charge of that is a private or a spic 4 or something like that. You know, low-ranking enlisted people, I know, because I was in stuff like that. And then this goes for what's classified. And I had a security clearance, and I never thought of going and seeing if there was something else I could filch. But these young guys today apparently want to do it. And this Teixeira guy was just some lonely loser who wanted to impress the kiddies. Very quickly, there's a newly discovered layer around the core of the Earth, because you know the Earth is we're on this crust here underneath. That's the mantle. It goes on down to the core, and around the core there's some odd looking stuff, and it is thought that it may be the result of ancient ocean floor that has floated down, because what happens is with plate tectonics, the two plates meet, and the lighter material rides over the more dense material, and the more dense material, which is usually ocean floor, gets pushed downward, and it starts heading down. And they think that this is the result of ocean floor that was subducted, that's the term for it, it was subducted hundreds of millions of years ago and then went down deep into the Earth and is wandering around about the core of the Earth. And, well, that's an interesting idea. I didn't think it could go down like that. I thought it would all be melted and that would be it. But no, it's down by the core and is still something you can tell is there, apparently. And there's some other stuff about the core of the Earth going on, but I think we're just about out of time. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
And we should be back here next week. And it's lovely time out. Now, for those of you who don't like the summer weather, we're going to get some real spring weather coming in. And next week, we're going to get on Wednesday, it's going to be mid-spring, and it's going to be in the 50s and 60s. It's going to be very springy weather. The flowers are coming up and stuff. Take a look at all of that if you can. And above all, remember what that watching out for RoboCop's dog Dormouse said.
Winding your way down on Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting is on Sunday, April 16th at 1 p.m., and you are invited to attend. The CAB is an advisory board which reviews programming and other station policies. It represents the diverse needs and interests of the communities WBAI serves. If you want to attend the meeting, you can join by teleconference at 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641711. Everyone is invited to call in and join the meeting, and we are happy that more people are now attending CAB meetings. Once again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number is 641711. We hope that you will be able to attend the WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting Sunday, April 16th at 1 p.m.
This is Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. April 19th through the 23rd, all roads lead to Baltimore, State of the Black World Conference 5. Organized around the theme, Global Africans Rising, Empowerment, Reparations, and Healing, to address 8 major issue areas. Reimagining policing, gun violence and fratricide, gentrification, environmental justice, water as a human right, socially responsible entrepreneurship, making Black Lives Matter, the role of hip-hop in the Black freedom struggle, and building the U.S. and global reparations movements. The who's who of Black America and the Pan-African world will be in Baltimore, April 19th to the 23rd, for one of the great gatherings of Black people of the century. To check out the amazing program and take advantage of discount registration, go to the website, ibw21.org. That's ibw21.org.
Sadly, on March 31st, 2023, Judge Lucretia Clemens denied Mumia Abu-Jamal his legal right to appeal his conviction despite newly discovered evidence demonstrating key witnesses were bribed or given favorable treatment to testify against Mumia, the veteran Black Panther and renowned journalist then and now. The Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition joins Love Not Fear in Philadelphia on Sunday, April 23rd, 12 noon, as we say no justice, no peace until Mumia Abu-Jamal is released. To secure your seat on the bus to Philadelphia to stand with Mumia as he has stood with us for 41 years, call 212-330-8029. That's 212-330-8029 or visit bringmumiahome.com for further details. That's bringmumiahome.com.
Ava, a young girl sent to England from Germany in 1939 while her parents stayed behind. One of 10,000 Jewish children sent to grow up with a family in London at the time.
Yes, sir. Pardon, sir?
Know your number. If you don't know your number, you might forget who you are.
3362, sir.
Don't want you to forget who you are, now do we?
No, sir.
Let me remind you. There. A nice star. That should tell them wherever it is you're going. Best to keep them informed, eh?
Yes, sir.
40 years later, Ava's daughter discovers clues she never knew about her mother.
Give me that photo.
Why should I?
Those are your mother's private possessions, Faith.
No, they're not. They really belong to that Ava.
Your mother's things.
A compelling story of survival starring Jane Kasmarek, Susan Sullivan, and Molly Quinn in Kinder Transport by Diane Samuels. WBAI Playhouse, Saturday, 8 p.m. on listener sponsor WBAI New York. 99.5 FM in New York, streaming at WBAI.org.
I am not going to lie.
And she spoke German in War Yellow Star.
There was no...
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.